ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm a-going fishing too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm a-going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing. I'm a-going fishing too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, all you fisher people, and welcome to another episode of Why Fish Radio. Once again, I am your host, Brad.
And I'm Brad, and we put the cast in podcast.
Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba, and Trophy Cat Adventures, a guiding service for catfish, carp, and anything else that swims in the Red River of the North right here in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Well, this week we're going to get a little bit more in-depth than we've been in the past about some safety issues and some things that have happened to us. Has anything exciting been happening, Brad?
Well, I tell you, it's been... No, to tell you the truth, really hasn't. It's been pretty routine. Most of my fishing has been of the shore variety or on a river, and pretty uneventful. Caught some fish. Life's been pretty good that way. But no close calls, no hair-raising moments, unlike some folks I could probably mention.
And that segues us right into this week's subject, which is just being safe and keeping your head about you in some hairy situations. I'm going to go back a couple weeks to an experience that I had in Devil's Lake. Uncle of mine that comes out every year to fish with me and one of his friends drove the 600 miles from Wausau, Wisconsin to join me out at Devil's Lake for a couple days of walleye and pike fishing. And what happened is the weather guys are sitting there saying, we're going to have wind advisories and all this stuff. And, you know, that really puts a damper on catching fish, the old wind advisory. So... anyway, we got up on Saturday morning and we decided we were going to head out and try to find somewhere to go fishing. After all, those guys drove 600 miles to catch a fish. So we went out to the first landing and it was a little bit rough. And it was more rough because it was going to make loading at the end of the day tough. So we just kept driving. And we went to a feeder lake called Pelican Lake at Devil's Lake. And it was just like glass, just gorgeous. So we figured that's where we'll try to get. The problem is you got to cross the Minnewaukan Flats to get there, so we figured we better check out the Minnewaukan Flats as far as how it was going to be. So we drove around the corner and, you know, about 1 foot waves, you know, nothing horrible, pretty tolerable in fact. We decided, hey, if we can fare some waves to get over to Pelican and catch some fish, so away we went. Got up into Pelican, nice smooth water, a little bumpy ride, but nothing we can't handle. Fishing was just awesome. We were just pounded on northerns. Anyway, we noticed the wind was changing. The wind was coming up. Bite kind of slowed. Some other boats were taking off. So we figured, well, let's go get on the trailer, make sure this wind doesn't get to us, and go find something a little closer to home to fish, just to be on the safe side. So we put our rain gear on and took off. Came up through the Mauve Coulee of Devil's Lake, and when we hit the flats, my God. There was waves that were at least 8 feet tall, and they were so close together you would hop over one and just eat the next one. So about 4 or 5 waves in, we're standing in 4 inches of water wondering how are we going to go through 6 miles of this garbage. Well, the long and the story, short of the story is we ended up turning around and running back up and loading the boat off the road. And as far as I'm concerned, keeping our heads about us and just taking our time and thinking that one through saved our lives. So that's going to be kind of the theory of the show, is sharing some of our experiences of rough water and then, you know, just reminding people to just use your head and be safe. Brad, I'm sure you've got some dandies for us on this subject.
Oh, yeah. Anyone that spends any time on the water inevitably gets into that situation where, you know, you're facing some rough conditions and you'd just as soon be anywhere but there at that point in time. And I guess for me, the one that stands out, and, you know, it's been probably 10 years ago. No, more than that. It's been quite a few years ago now. There were three of us, and we were actually in a rental boat out on Lake of the Woods. Had my old trusty 15-horse Evinrud we threw on the back. And we rented a boat from this resort called Springsteel Resort, just north of Warroad, Minnesota. And got out on the lake, and there was a little bit of a chop out there. So we were just going to stick close to the resort. But there'd been a bite about 3 miles north off an area called Elm Point. And we started out, made a couple drifts by the resort with so luck. And pretty soon, the lure of that other spot called. I mean, it's one of the old things about fishing. No matter what side you're on, it's always better on the other side. And so off we went in this little rental boat. Got up with the wind at our backs, got up to this area no problem, started fishing. And the wind wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't really an issue at all. I made a couple drifts. We picked up a couple walleyes each drift. Life was good. And all of a sudden, just like that, the wind came up from the south, and we had to go right into the teeth of it. And we're kind of pondering our situation there. Well, what do we do? Do we try to get back? The only shoreline there is actually Canada, so, you know, that puts you into a little bit of dicey ground, too, when you don't have a custom station to go through. And, I mean, we were seeing boats much, much bigger than ours barreling back to shore, and here we were in this little rental boat. So, finally, we put on the life jackets, and away we went, one slow, painful wave at a time. And it was one of those situations where the boat would climb up, you'd go down. The boat would climb up, you'd go down. And I mean, at times, all I could see was the bow of the boat. And then every once in a while, you'd get a glimpse off, way, way off in the horizon of where we needed to go. And I didn't panic in that situation, but it was as scared as I have been in a good long while. And same with the two folks I was fishing with. I think their hand marks are still ground into the side of that boat. But we did make it to shore. We made it back to the resort. It took us much longer than it should have, but we did make it. You know, luckily the motor didn't quit. We had no problems that way. But the main thing was, you know, not to try to make it into a race. You just got to do what the water will let you do at that point. And we made it. And I mean, I literally got out and kissed the ground, and we got back to shore that time.
So I got to ask, 14-foot rental boat or 16-foot rental boat?
Oh, it was a 16-foot rental boat. So, I mean, you know, we were in a big craft. We were in good shape that way.
Well, just because of that great story, I have to throw in the story of my very first boat, which was a 1989 Lund. Still had a false floor live well. I had a 25-horse Johnson on it. Out in the Minnewaukan Flats, you see a trend here with me in the Minnewaukan Flats and wind. Anyway, my good fishing buddy Jason Lom and I were out there, and he had been driving the boat all day, and we were on a bite. Man, were we catching walleyes. And we decided that the bite was getting a little slow and that we were going to go load up and drive around the lake and try to find a different bay just for a different change of scenery. Like you said, you always got to be on the other side of the lake. It was about a 2.5-mile run back to the town of Minnewaukan to load up. And we took off and we came out from behind this island, and my God, was there some waves. And we decided we needed a game plan, so we turned around and headed right back up into the bay and sat and kind of discussed what we were going to do. And we figured, well, it's almost evening. It always calms down in the evening. So we'll just fish for a couple hours and figure, you know, wait for it to die down. Well, we waited about 3 hours. We fished another 3 hours up in that bay. And we noticed this big lund heading out of there. And we're like, well, we'll watch these guys. Must have been about a 17-foot boat, 100 horse or so. It hit that first wave, and that boat went airborne right out of the water. And we just went, oh, my God, what are we going to do now? The options became go up on the edge of the road and try to hitch a ride in and crank it up over the rocks off the road. Go up into the neighbor's pasture and just wait the storm that was coming, because, by the way, this time there was a storm rolling in from the west. Or if it wasn't tied down, tie it down and just go for it. Well, of course, being 24-year-old men, we decided we're going to go for it. So we emptied the water out of the live well, put our thermoses, coffee cups, and anything else that was loose in the live well with our fish, and took off. Well, it was a nice side wind, and the nice part about it is you could get up on one and you could surf down the top of it, and then you could take a dive and get up onto the next one and surf down it. And when we'd get to the bottom of a swell, I could just barely see over the top of the next one. And until 2 weeks ago, I thought that was big water. Boy, was I mistaken. But we made it in, a guy helped us load, and everything was good. But I think we're showing a trend here. You got any more fabulous ones for us since we're on storytelling?
Well, not necessarily encounters so much, but just a couple of observations I've heard from people in describing rough water. And I heard one guy say that when it starts looking like a herd of sheep is coming at you, get going, get off the water, because when those angry sheep hit, it's not necessarily a pretty sight. And, you know, that one's always stuck with me. I mean, when you start seeing those things coming at you, run. And another good one I heard was, it was actually a pro fisherman at a tournament up on Lake of the Woods several years ago. It was a fall tournament. They'd had a fair bit of wind, nice October northwest wind, which gives you literally nowhere to hide on the American side of Lake of the Woods. And I heard a pro fisherman say, you know, it's like every single wave is personally pissed off at you. And again, that's one that stuck with me. And I can relate to what he meant with that one, because it certainly is. When those waves come at you close together, you can't ride them out. All you do is hit them, and you're going to get wet. But, you know, again, use common sense. If the wind is blowing too hard for the type of a boat you have, don't go, or go somewhere else. Go hit a river. You know, maybe, I mean, if it's a matter of fishing or not fishing, you know, go stand on shore someplace on a river. Find a plan B, but don't take any stupid chances. It's not worth it. It's only a fish.
And that was the message of the show with Why Fish this week, is we just wanted to share a couple of the stories. And I tell you, I've done some pretty stupid things and some pretty stupid, wind. I mean, it was just unbelievably dumb of me to make the decision, especially the last time, because I knew better. For 2 days, the weatherman was warning me. But if you're out in a boat and you think it's going to be hairy, or the weatherman tells you it's going to have wind advisories, just don't go. Use common sense. Stay close to home. That's another thing. Just stay close to home so you can get to the dock. That's always a good idea. But just be careful. Use some common sense. And if you do get in the hairy situation, keep your head about you, because if you get really panicked, just like in any other emergency, problems are going to get worse.
And above all, keep that life jacket on. Keep it on. I mean, you know, there's maybe a certain macho tendency that, well, I'm not going to look good if I have a life jacket on. That's going to look like I'm wimpy. Well, forget that. Even if you're a strong swimmer, especially if you're in real cold water, if you're a long ways from shore, you don't have a lot of options. The fatigue is going to set in, and you're much better off having that life jacket on than not having it. I mean, that's why you have them in the boat. And in a situation like that, put it on, use it, end of story.
Well, I hope everybody got the lecture of rough water from us this week, but it was a harsh reminder to me that things can happen, things can go south, and I just wanted to share it with everybody else to just be careful, use your head, like Brad says, wear your life jacket, and boy, was I glad to have mine on. So, for another week, I think we're going to call it for this week at Why Fish Radio. Don't forget to give Stu a call up at Cats on the Red. Call Kent at Trophy Cat Adventures. There's a heck of a bite going on here still in Grand Forks. So get booked with Kent. Get booked with Stu up at Cats. And just get out and have some fun. So until next week, I'm your host, Brad.
And I'm Brad. Until next time, keep your hook in the water. If you're in a boat, keep yourself out of the water. Keep your line tight. And most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.